For every time I turned my back on him. For the times I rejected the poor and hungry. For the holidays when I hurt the ones I love. For the way I judge people I know nothing about. For the days I think I can do it all on my own. For the stuff I gathered but never needed. For the times I thought I was better than someone else. For the mornings I woke up and decided to carry my own burdens. For the envy I allowed to hollow out my soul. For the excess that I secretly loved. For the silence when I should have shouted. For the shouting when I should have been quiet. For the words that cut deep. For the selfishness that I hide, for the lust disguised as love, for the way I wasted precious time, for the people I refused to forgive, for the feelings of inadequacy, for the addiction I can't kick, for the poor whom I ignored, for the laughter at another's expense. For the times I only acted generous. For the fear of failure. For the fear of rejection. For the fear of everything. Jesus died to forgive us of our past and to give us freedom. Love. And hope for the future.
On the road to Calvary. sinful men, torn and beaten men, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became blame, bore the wrath we stand.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled.
When Jesus finished praying, he began a brief journey with his disciples to the other side of the Kidron Valley, a deep ravine that floods in the winter rains, and then further on to the garden where he gathered his disciples. Judas Iscariot, who had already set in motion his betrayal, knew that Jesus often met with his disciples in this particular olive grove. And he entered the garden with an entourage of Roman soldiers and officials sent by the chief priests and Pharisees. They brandished their weapons under the light of torches and lamps. Jesus stepped forward. It was clear he was not surprised because he knew all things. "Whom are you looking for?" And they responded, "Jesus, the Nazarene." And Jesus says, "I am the one." Judas, the betrayer, stood with the military force. And as Jesus spoke, "I am the one," the forces fell back on the ground. Jesus asked them the second time, "Whom are you searching for?" And they replied, "Jesus, the Nazarene." And Jesus says, "I have already said that I am the one. If you are looking for me, then let these men go free." This happened to fulfill the promise he made that none of those entrusted to him will be lost. And suddenly, Peter lunged toward Malchus, one of the high priest's servants, and with his sword, Peter severed the man's right ear. And Jesus, saying to Peter, "Put your sword down and return it to its sheath. Am I to turn away from the cup the Father has given me to drink?" And then Jesus reached out to touch and heal the man's ear.
on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down, here, arms open wide, here, you saved my life, here I bow. You see,
welcome, my friends, to this Good Friday service. So glad you could join us today in worship, celebrating the life that Jesus offers. You know, the life Jesus offers is a reason to celebrate. It is a reason to respond to God's open arms and His invitation to draw near to Him. And we're so glad you are here on this Good Friday. You know, it's not called Easy Friday, but it is called Good Friday, and as we continue to discover the life-giving truth of Holy Week and God's power to transform each and every one of us into a new creation, we will discover this Good Friday for ourselves. Hallelujah. It's so difficult, you know, to look at death. I don't know if you've been ever in the room when someone has taken their last breath, but you'll never forget it. One of the many things that you have the honor to do as a full-time pastor is to go to the bedside of a person who is about to pass away. I remember this so vividly. We had a church member who was breathing his last breaths, and I was invited to go by his bedside with the family. And I realized that God was in the room right then and there as he took his last breath. I could almost visualize God saying, "Come home, my child. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Now, as a pastor, I identified the body of our church member. I said goodbye to the family. I held the hands of the members of this community as a conduit to help them say goodbye to their loved one in the moments of his passing. You know, it's in the moments of staring death in the face that we remember what's most important. There is incredible tension on this day. And we look at the cross of Christ, this most brutal tool of Roman execution, and we can call it wonderful, glorious, and beautiful. We call the day of our Savior's death Good Friday. Now, as difficult as it is important to take a few moments to look intently at the cross of Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul considers the cross, he said it this way in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, I want to draw your attention to a word in that verse that I just read. It's the word boast. Far be it from me to have confidence in anything other than the cross of Christ. Let your motivation to live out your faith be that you will be overwhelmingly be able to conquer any obstacle because of the power of Almighty God. And this confidence comes from looking at this moment of unbelievable suffering and death. Now, the Greek word translated boast or exult literally means to hold your head up high. Hold your head up high today, my friends, and look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a look-down society. When you sit at a stoplight, pay attention to the other people at the light. They're not looking up, really. They're waiting for the light to change. No, they're on their phones. They're looking down at their phones. We look down all the time. We look down at our computers. We look down to read or to text, to stand over a countertop and prepare a meal, and even to pray. So many of our daily activities and habits cause us to look down. Do you know there are 70 trillion cells in your body that are a part of your life? And every single cell is directly impacted by the condition of your spinal cord and the curve of your neck. And the curve of your neck is particularly important in this. Whenever you look down, you are compressing the spinal cord in a negative way. You are literally cutting off some of the function of your nervous system every time you look down. One of the most powerful things you can do to correct this is to throw your shoulders back, tilt your head and your neck back, lift your chin up, and look up. This posture can literally help restore life to your body, and it's the posture the Apostle Paul challenges us to have today in order to restore vital functions in our own life. It's a corrective measure that we can take today to remind ourselves that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. So today, we hold our heads high about nothing else than the cross of Christ. As we look at his life and what he has done for us, it allows us to recalibrate all the ways in which our lives have gotten out of alignment. We don't hold our heads high about the importance of our work. We don't hold our heads up high about our gifts or our talents. We don't hold our heads up high about our contributions or our compliments or our accomplishments. We follow the example of Jesus, who stepped out of his heaven and made himself of no reputation. But we look up and we hold our heads up high too, in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Now, what an amazing reference John the Baptist made when Jesus first came on the scene. Before he had performed any miracles of his public ministry or preached the first word of his first sermon, John knew what was coming. John said, behold, see, look up. The word can even mean experience. Look upon the Lamb born in Bethlehem, the birthplace of every lamb who would be killed in an official capacity as part of the Passover throughout Jerusalem. Born to be the sacrifice, born to be the price of our reconciliation back to God, born to be the payment for our sin. So hold your head up high and look upon the Lamb. Hold your head up high and look upon the one who ate with sinners and welcomed outsiders. Look upon the one who said, let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Hold your head up high and look upon the one who never forced himself on anybody, yet welcomed and listened to everybody. Hold your head up high while the Son of Man walks upon the water, calms the sea, casts out demons, and feeds the hungry. Hold your head up high and look as the blind receive their sight, as the lame start to walk again, as disease is healed, and as those held captive to sin are set free. So hold your head up high and look upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. In the same way that John the Baptist told us to behold him, so did the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. John 19, verse 5 says, "So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns on his head and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man. See him. Experience him. Look at him now and remember this day that occurred not quite 2,000 years ago. He has been betrayed. He has been abandoned by his followers and denied by his closest friends. He has been whipped by the Romans.' Now, contrary to what you may have heard, the Romans had no 39-lash limit when they were punishing someone who was not Roman. Jesus was beaten in an inch of his life until the Roman soldier holding the whip just got tired. They twisted a crown of thorns and pressed it into his head, and then Pilate brought him forward and told us to behold him, look at him, experience him. After all of that, Pilate declared him not guilty. Just a Friday morning of Roman mockery, but the crowd wanted more. 'What do you want me to do?' Pilate asked. 'Take him away,' they shouted. 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' I know we cannot physically see him today, but as best as we can in our mind's eye, we can look up and look upon him. 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says, 'Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.' How can we look back at such suffering and death and be filled with joy inexpressible? Because it's personal. It was for me. It was for you. It's personal. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, 'For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which will lose their value. It was with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God.' Look upon him. Look up. See your salvation battered and beaten, abused and abandoned with only one motivation: love. 1 John 3 and 16 says, 'By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. His execution was ordered, and he carried the cross through the winding, narrow streets. He could not bear the cross on his own, so the Roman soldiers commanded somebody else to come along inside and carry it along the path, the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. It was filled with shops and patrons, crowded like at no other time of the year. During Passover, Jerusalem's population would have swelled by over 400%. The intention was not just crucifixion, but absolute humiliation. They were setting an example for any others who might be tempted to rebel against the power of Rome. Then his body was laid down and attached to the beams of the cross by the Roman nails. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Hallelujah. The New Testament writers would reflect upon the cross of Jesus and declare our sins canceled with the pounding of each of every one of the nails. In his wounds is healing. It's a beautiful mystery that the streams of blood from the lashing and the nails and the thorns of that crown would cover my sin, would cover your sin, and bring healing to your heart and your life. Even God the Father turns his head from the sin that accompanies the suffering, and Jesus is left alone to die. And a few moments later, He finishes his work and he breathes his last breath. To hold his suffering in your heart creates overwhelming gratitude and humility. It is almost impossible not to bow your head in sorrow and in reverence. Yet today, this is what we came to see, so we look upon him. This is what the writers of scriptures talked about. This is the reason we boast. This is the reason we hold our heads up high. Jeremiah 9 and 23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches." No. We hold our head up high and we look upon our salvation, bleeding and dying upon the cross of Calvary, and we say, "Thank you, Jesus." We determine to know nothing else but Jesus and him crucified. We put our trust in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So today, we hold our heads high and we look to the cross. This instrument of death became the cornerstone of victory for our lives. Do you believe that? That is what makes this a Good Friday. That is why you can hold your head up high today. Hold your head up high as he's forgiven you and he declares you forgiven. Hold your head up high as he bears every sorrow and every grief and every pain. Hold your head up high as he removes your guilt, your shame, and your penalty. Hold your head up high as the one who knows you by name and declares you fearfully and wonderfully made boasts over you with joy, rejoices over you with shouts, and loves you without limit. Hold your head up high and know that not only is the cross empty, but the tomb is empty as well. Hallelujah! Hold your head up high and declare from Galatians 2 and 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So hold your head up high, for nothing else but the cross of Christ will do. May God bless you this Good Friday.
Is